Welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is Anna Baker, a nutritionist from Australia, now living in Los Angeles. If you're interested in the topic of healthy eating or perhaps trying to make a few small changes just to better your diet, this episode is a good one. We debunked a few health myths, such as, are eating too many eggs bad for you? She shared her thoughts on those 3 or 5 day juice cleanses, what it means to be gluten intolerant, even what she eats for breakfast. So enjoy.
From the Fox 11 studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the Olympic and Bundy podcast with host Kelly Taylor.
So, grew up in Sydney. Did you grow up eating healthy?
I did. My mom used to buy like brown rice and brown pasta, and she's an accountant. So I used to think that it was like cheap food, and that's why she bought it, not that she was trying to be healthy. So I like didn't understand it at the time. We never got desserts. I just thought she was mean, but it was really about her looking after us. Luckily, I loved vegetables, like always have. It was my favorite thing. I used to swap my meat for vegetables with my cousin at family things.
Really?
But, yeah.
I feel like that's not common at all for
it's
a little
not,
kid.
And I don't like chocolate. Like I'm a freaking, berries are my favorite thing in the world. Like, yeah. So I guess I was born to be a nutritionist.
Yeah,
I like definitely. To eat healthy.
So at what point, like along the way, were you thinking that you maybe wanted to study and learn about healthy eating and go into nutrition?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like one of those lifelong stories. In high school, I was sick a lot. It was a classified, well, I had glandular fever, mono, twice.
Wait, what
happen.
Was the first thing you had?
It's called glandular fever, but you call it mono.
Mono, okay.
Yeah. So I was sick a lot, and then they just said I had chronic fatigue. And so I'd seen a lot of alternate doctors, and I had trouble finishing school because I was sick so much. And I was lucky that I did a IQ test, and I got into business law. So I was studying that for the first 3 years, a double degree. So,
oh, wow.
And it was when I had an emergency appendectomy when I was 24. That I got chronic fatigue again, and I just was not recovering from it. So I met a alternate doctor who was my inspiration and my mentor to change everything.
So basically this other doctor was sort of giving you other ways to maybe try and
She put help. Me on the strictest raw food diet ever. I would never suggest it to anyone, but it really what changed me, and I noticed how much you can change by what you put in. She made me go to an extreme, and it's not like something you could do long term, but it helped me get the energy I need for my body to fight what it needed to fight. And it's the internal battle as well as like the energy and the external and the mood. And so it all just elevated from that. She also helped me pick the best course in Australia to do for what I wanted to do. And she just encouraged me the whole way. So she was, yeah. Aww. Very
shout out to her.
Yeah, I know. Marilyn Golden, if you're listening, this is for you. Yeah.
Did she know that you ended up like choosing this as a life career?
Yeah, I plan when I go back, I plan to go see her.
Yeah.
But she knows this is what I wanted to do, and she knows I went to America. I don't know if she's been like how well I've done here. Not trying to be cocky, but like it's been great and how I've enjoyed it. It's like
definitely
the best trip journey ever.
So you were eating raw foods and like
no meat, which was fine by me, but wow. I did miss it. Yeah. When you can't have something, it's always when you want it.
As soon as someone says don't eat it, that's immediately when you want like 5 servings of it.
Exactly. That's why I say never when it comes to food, because then all you'll think about is that one food.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So definitely today I was intrigued by the idea of like debunking certain health myths. Are there any that like immediately people always ask you that come to mind?
There's a thousand of them.
A ton.
Yeah.
So like when I was thinking about it, a lot of people would always say like, I love eggs. So I could eat like 50 eggs in a day and still want more. I just love eggs. But people used to say like, don't eat too many eggs. You're going to get high cholesterol or whatever. Like, is there a myth with that?
There's a myth about how eggs increase your cholesterol. 50 eggs a day is not, or 50 of anything a day is not good for anyone. So we'll start there. Moderation's the key. But eggs won't increase your cholesterol. If you have bad cholesterol, it was like an old school science thing that they thought cholesterol equals cholesterol. New science and research has proven that they're not linked and one won't increase the other. So you limit to like 2 eggs 3 or 4 times a week, but it's not like you can't have it regularly.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But the cholesterol thing's definitely a myth. It's yeah. not going to increase your cholesterol.
Yeah, I eat eggs. I eat them every morning. Not like the kind where you yeah. like, you know, I like when I see someone at my gym does like the old school swallows them raw. Yeah.
That's disgusting. Do you know what? Yeah. Eggs actually have a higher nutrient content if you cook them than if you have them raw.
Really?
It's like, you know how some vegetables are better when you cook them than raw? Because it brings out, so it brings out more iron in it.
Yeah, so that's another one. You would never think that.
Yeah.
So can you elaborate a little bit on that? So if you're, like, if I was going to eat a raw piece of broccoli.
Okay. Raw broccoli is good. It depends. Different nutrients are water soluble and some aren't. Non-water soluble would be the answer. So it's based on what nutrients. So for example, spinach raw has 3 times more vitamin C if it's raw than cooked. So if you have a cold, you want to eat raw spinach, but you still get nutrients from them. So vitamin C, vitamin B1, B4, and are all ones that are better to eat raw, and folate. Then it's beta-carotenes, so the antioxidant that's in orange and yellow vegetables that are actually better cooked. So like bell peppers and carrots and things like that.
So cooked carrots, cooked orange bell peppers.
Yeah. And yellow.
Oh, or yellow. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That the color bell pepper, spectrum. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I would never.
So it's the beta-carotenes, so antioxidants.
Oh, good to know. Okay. Yeah. What about if you're watching how many calories you eat? Does it matter if what time of the day I eat them? Like, what if I eat breakfast and then at like 9 at night I eat, you know, dinner? And does it matter basically what time you eat calories versus just how much you're taking in?
No, it doesn't. It's about what you eat, not when you eat. So you want to eat small, nutrient-dense food regularly. So if someone eats, like, say, bowl of spinach in the evening past 9, that's great. It's our body, and especially if we work out regularly, metabolizes 24 hours a day and whilst we sleep. So it's not about when you eat it, it's about what you eat. You don't want to have anything that's hard to digest late at night because that will make it hard to fall asleep.
Yeah. But it's about, so it's not necessarily going to affect, like,
no.
It's not going to make you fatter if you definitely eat something not later. It's basically just about, like, digestion and being comfortable. And
exactly. Yeah. And quality sleep, because good quality sleep helps reduce cravings. So yeah.
Sleep is key.
It is. Ugh. Sleep's always the key.
Right. Do you find that there's, like, because obviously I feel like you're embedded in this, like, just healthy, like, eating and what people are looking for at the grocery store, you know, whatever they're cooking at home. Do you find that there's, like, a difference between, say, your parents' generation versus the millennial generation, which I honestly kind of don't like that word.
Neither do I.
For the sake of, you know.
I always thought I wasn't in it. And then I was reading and I was like, damn, I am. Yeah. I thought I just skipped it.
Yeah.
There definitely is different generations. We'll just say that instead of either.
Yeah.
They have different education of health embedded in them. For example, the older generation, such as baby boomers, are more about calorie counting, low fat, reading nutrient labels, where the younger generation, such as millennials, are more about how natural a product is. Is it organic? And the ingredients and things like that that go in it, not as like the fat sugar count. They're also a bit more about the ethics of a company. So looking at how that company impacts the world, whether it's locally farmed products and things like that. They're just a bit more aware of society than A to B. They're not as also as glued to certain brands. It's about also economics, I can't speak, and what's the most affordable within the socioeconomic and social ethical
gotcha
guidelines.
That's got to be, like, thinking about how companies, like, ethically are operating, that's got to be just, like, access to more information, right?
Yeah,
like, you can
with diet, not just in the shopping center, but just with, like, what they put in their body. It's the younger generation spend time researching it on their smartphones. If someone mentions a diet, is it good? There's so many different ones out there. So we utilize information a lot better. Well, I don't know if it's quality information. There's so much stuff that we should not be listening to. It shouldn't be there. But we utilize information a lot more compared to they're just spend a lot more time in the shopping center reading things and that sort of stuff when we're doing the research at home.
Gotcha. And speaking of, one thing that I want to talk about is how almost, not to say that people are taking things too far, because it's good that people are like being healthy, you know, but I live down in the South Bay and there's so many just juice shops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where like you walk in and you spend X amount of dollars, a lot, for like a 3-day, a 5-day, a 7-day juice cleanse. Do you find that that's like, have you noticed that that's a trend just in general?
Everywhere.
They're everywhere, right?
It's like between where I park my car and my office, I think I could pass three.
Yeah, especially in LA.
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So to be honest, it's kind of a waste of money. One great article, which I have forgotten the name right now, basically said that it's sugary water with vitamins. It takes out the fiber and a lot of nutrients by processing it that way. So it's so much better just to go and buy, they want to go to the farmer's market, a box, or get it delivered, a box of fresh fruit and veg, and cut it up and eat it that way. So it's an easy thing, but it they lose so much nutrients and waste a lot of money, to be honest.
It's expensive.
So it is. So I make green smoothies. I'm obsessed, but I also have a proper meal with it. I don't just have that.
I think that with juicing, so you're saying basically like if you add, maybe like it would be a good idea, like, oh, if you want to add one with breakfast or something, to get that.
So I have like my homemade cereal and a juice for breakfast. So I get, because who wants to eat in a bowl? And if the blending is about the amount of processing and the heat, so blending, if you do it quickly, is not ruining as much nutrients. So and who wants to eat greens with breakfast unless it's scrambled with eggs? Sorry, not everyone does that every morning. So I have like a smoothie and more greens and just a little bit of fruit each morning. But I also have like a high quality carb protein cereal with it.
Gotcha. So what about, some people that I know personally are eating gluten-free and have been for a long time and have noticed like a huge difference in like how they feel, like more energetic, not as many like stomach digestion issues. Talk a little bit about just how that's because I feel like when you walk into the grocery store, there's a lot of gluten-free products. And are people just becoming more aware and like asking their doctor about it because it's everywhere? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, can you talk a little bit about that as just a thing, gluten-free? Yeah.
So gluten-free, there's gluten intolerance, and then there's like celiac disease, the autoimmune disease. So with the celiac disease, like you have to stay away from gluten, and there's a decent population that has that. But we're finding now in research, we're looking at our genomes and how different nutrients digest and how they interact. So everyone's different. And so gluten intolerance is about the digestive system and how your body processes it. So it can really slow down some people's process. That's why they feel lethargic and bloated. And so it's a lot about listening to your body. I don't think everyone should do it, but it really can make a difference for some people with digestive issues.
Gotcha. So as far as the difference between just being gluten intolerant and maybe having celiac disease, that is something that's almost like a more intense version of gluten intolerance?
Celiac disease is basically your body can't process it and you get like basically ulcers on your intestinal system, which if left is like extremely, extremely harmful, much worse than feeling bloated for 24 hours after because it takes a while longer for it to process. So they can't have gluten. There's two different forms. One is just by mouth. And if you have any gluten by mouth, others, it's to the touch. So if you touch anything with gluten, there's gluten in so much stuff, medicine, skin products, shampoos. So, but that's only 25% of the celiac population. So that one, it's just doctor's orders. You cannot have it. Gluten intolerance is it slows down the digestive process. And so that's why you feel bloated and sometimes crampy. And once it's out of your system, there's no long-term effects. When celiac disease, you're like causing long-term effects to your digestive system.
You just know that you're going to feel, like if you're gluten intolerant, you just know you're going to be like walking around like, oh boy.
You feel like you're pregnant, like that little food belly, that can sometimes be gluten intolerance.
Gotcha. Okay. So when you're at the grocery store and like, you know, maybe reading food labels, like what are some things that you advise to like clients or just like tips for anyone listening, like things to look for when you're shopping at, you know, whatever grocery store and reading food labels?
I think one of the most important things to look for is sugar. Sugar is in everything. It's in pasta sauces, yogurt, things that say fat-free on them. Most of the time have sugar packed in, so they actually taste good. Sugar is one of the most toxic things we can put in our system if we overload it. We all know that sugar leads to type 2 diabetes if we don't manage our body properly. So added sugars is the biggest one to watch. The second thing is sodium levels. So they're my two number things to watch. And then also look at calories. Sugar is surprising. Two tomato pasta sauces look identical, but one has more sugar and one is just...
Yeah. Oh, wow. What would be like, I don't even, if I was getting a pasta sauce, like what would be an average, what would be like a recommended amount of sugar in pasta sauce? You know what I mean? Like I would never.
We did a YouTube thing about this and some of them were like as low as like 2 grams per serving. And then some of them were like 16 grams per serving. Salad dressings are the other things. You know how they say fat free on them and all this fancy stuff. It's amazing how much sugar in that. And you're having this healthy salad and then you're just chucking basically raw sugar on it.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's another one you have to watch.
That's the sneaky thing. Because when you're at a restaurant or something and you get a salad, it could be like all game over with the dressing.
Exactly. Like sometimes it's healthier to get a steak and vegetables and potato than it is to have a salad at some places because of the bacon, the blue cheese, and the dressing. Yeah. So,
when it comes to sodium,
yes.
What's like even an average amount that, you know, maybe me, that you should consume in a day?
So
like, I don't even know.
1,600 and less.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so that's why a lot of processed foods, and that's where the older generations have issues with blood pressure, because when we started processing food and the food was easier, everyone got really excited about it. So a lot of processed foods, the way they get kept is increased sodium, like food delivery services and all that sort of thing are always high in sodium. So that's really one to watch. And it's not it's just not good for us to have too much. It's not going to lead some people with good cholesterol, it's not going to cause big issues, but you really want to be aware of it just so you get in good habits.
Gotcha. Say if one day I have 5,000 milligrams of sodium, right? Would I notice anything different about my body? You know, like 1 or 2 days a week, like what happens if I eat way more? Am I going to notice any difference? Is that bad? Or just like on average?
So sodium is processed with water through our kidneys a lot of the time. So it can affect your hydration and dehydration. So it...
Gotcha. So then that might mean I need to drink more water. Yeah.
But if you have high blood pressure, if you have 5,000, who knows what's going to happen?
Gotcha.
Don't come see me. Go see a doctor.
Go see a doctor.
But if you're healthy, you can have it every now and then. And that's how I really look at nutrition, is you have to enjoy life and be able to eat the things you want. Because if you don't, so it's not going to...
Yeah. Just live your life.
If you're smart, 6 days a week, what's one day? And not saying that, but... like, you have to be able to enjoy things. Otherwise, you're never going to continue at long life term.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's about, like, just having good habits over going on a diet to meet some goal you have.
Yeah, that's another thing that I want to talk about is there's so many things that people say to do. Like, don't eat dairy. It's so bad. Don't eat dairy. Do a lot of people ask you, like, what's the best diet to follow?
All the time. The worst thing is you meet someone for 5 minutes and they're like, so what should I be eating? And you're like,
yeah.
How much information? Like, do you know how much information my clients have to fill out before I help them? Like, I just can't give a quick fix. I wish I could. I was joking with Mel and said, well, you could go buy my book and see. That's the fastest answer I've got for you. But it's about knowing your person. Like I said, how our genetic makeup plays and impacts what we eat. So I guess the best tips you can do is listen to your body. When it comes to dairy, it's actually a genetic mutation to be able to process dairy. So there's a lot of people with intolerance. So that sort of thing, there's no like, you have to not eat this and this unless you have something like celiac disease. It's just about listening to your body and moderation. I know dairy is not the best thing for me, but I love cheese. So I just have
Same. That's the one problem.
I just like, you were talking about cake. Don't like cake. Don't like chocolate, but cheese. So you just have to be ready to deal with the consequences and not do it all the time and then find the healthiest option. So if you can have pizza, don't have the one with all the processed meats and the cheese on the thickest base. Like, just try and find a healthy compromise. I think nutrition's a lot about compromise. So in the ideal world, in the reality, if you could eat whatever you want and try and find a way that you can balance it and live like that long term without wanting to crash and go stuff your face with all your favorite foods.
Right. Yeah, you always see people, like, maybe they, for a week, they're really jazzed about this, their meal prep, and they're like, I'm doing chicken and broccoli and sweet potatoes every day this week, whatever. But then it doesn't last, you know? So, like, what's the point of, like, obviously you got to think of foods that you'll just continue eating, because if you're going to get sick of it, then, you know.
Yeah. That's kind of why how I do nutrition is in, like, two-week increments, because everyone's always like, let's go, and super excited. I'll cook all this, I'll prep. And then when it comes to reality, it doesn't happen. So then we have to sort of like, okay, so that didn't work. What did work? And what should we do in the next couple of weeks? So it, but I have so many clients that are like, yeah, let's go. And it just, and so some disappear and I chase them. But other ones are like, okay, so that didn't work. Well, let's try and find a middle ground.
Gotcha. So slow changes. Yeah. Like, say if someone every night is having like a frozen processed meal for dinner, maybe like do that half as much of the time.
But there's also, there's so many healthy frozen meals. So if you want frozen meals, then I tell them which ones are the healthiest, that sort of thing. So what store do you shop at? Okay, well, I know Trader Joe's has these great meals.
Trader Joe's has so many good frozen, like their veggies, their...
My dream is to be a Trader Joe ambassador. I love that store. It is the best. I like go there and just stock up on everything.
Do you follow on Instagram Trader Joe's list? It's basically I think it's one person who's just obsessed with Trader Joe's, and all they do is just post like new things at Trader Joe's. Like, you know, on the end of the aisle sometimes.
I probably go to this side a lot, but I don't follow them because I like
highly recommend. Yeah. It's so good. As soon as Trader Joe's has a new product on the shelf, they're on it.
I know.
But I was honestly, they have the best frozen prepared stuff.
No, they really do. Like, and even it doesn't, because a lot of them are like the cauliflower rice and the frozen vegetables. So it's not like you can add like three things together and make a healthy meal. And there's a lot less sodium in that than if it's a pre-cooked like chicken, rice and vegetable thing.
Yeah.
And then you actually have multiple days worth, so you don't have to do it every day. So it's more economical and for busy people.
That's a really good point, because like, say if you are just in general, you're not necessarily trying to lose weight, or it's not like you're like super into like gaining muscle and fitness, but you just like want to eat healthy. It seems like sometimes people get overwhelmed because they don't have time to cook and like buy produce and stuff. But that is super true, that there's a lot of good like frozen options that are quick and, you know, might not be too bad for you.
Exactly. And even at restaurants, there's a lot of healthy options and unhealthy options. So if you can have help from a professional to pick which one, then it's a lot easier.
So because of your field, when you go out to eat with friends and stuff, are people conscious like, oh boy, I'm with a nutritionist, I gotta eat healthy?
Yeah, they do a lot. But the people who know me, the more embarrassing thing is that I'm sitting there with like a burger and fries and a glass of champagne, and then someone's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a nutritionist. They're like, oh, is that what a nutritionist eats? I was like, well, you should see what my house looks like. It's like so boring when people come over, but this is my...
It's your livelihood.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's because I enjoy it, but sometimes you have to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you grew up eating that way too.
But I thought it was so boring back then.
So you didn't like rebel and want to eat like Dunkaroos or...
Like, I had fun when I went to my... But then I always felt like afterwards... And I just like healthy food. What can I say?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's a great problem.
I know. You know what
I mean? I feel like most people probably.
I do like sour lollies. That's my weakness.
Sour lollies?
Yeah.
Like
candy?
Yeah. Lollipops. Right?
No, like we call them lollies, you call it candy. But like sour worms and that sour apple things.
Oh, yeah. Wait, the caramel with the Sour Apple Pops?
No, oh.
Oh, Sour Patch Kids.
That sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sour's my thing, too. But I think I'm going to start saying sour lollies, because that sounds cooler. I like that. So
bring back my mom some lollies.
Wait, is there anything that you miss about, like, food-wise, like, from Australia that you... I mean, Los Angeles is huge, so I feel like you can probably find... Or just get it online.
I belong to Aussies in LA, and, like, every week someone has a picture of all the Aussie food that's available. It's so funny and where it's available. So we're all... I do like my Vegemite, but only thinly sliced with avocado.
Oh, with avocado?
Yeah.
Interesting. So I studied abroad in England for about 6 months, and...
Marmite's disgusting.
And all the English kids at uni would come home from being, like, out at a club,
yeah,
and, like, their drunk food was Marmite on toast with, like, cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
No, I do avocado.
Avocado.
Yeah.
So Vegemite and Marmite taste
it's
different.
It's because of the sodium potassium in it. It's actually good for hydration. So it helps to rehydrate your cells.
Really? Both Vegemite and Marmite?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Just the name?
Yeah, where they're from. I don't... There's, like... They must have a pattern on the different ones and someone tried to copy, yeah, but I
but
can't
if you,
taste Marmite. I can't stand Marmite, but I like Vegemite.
Okay, so if you're blindfolded and I gave you Vegemite, Marmite, you'd be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I know. It's like Pepsi and Coke.
Yeah.
They're both the same, but you can tell which one's,
yeah,
which.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So the Aussies in LA, like, are they just talking about, like, oh, you can get this at this Ralph's, or do you have to go to, like,
yeah,
a specialty store?
No, so Cost Plus have, like, Tim Tams and all the, like, Australian, yeah. So they tell you where Vegemite is. We have natural confectionery lollies, which are, like, my version of Sour Patches back home, but they're more natural than your processed ones, supposedly.
Yes. Of course.
I know they are. And they're gluten-free, I think. But so they always just send pictures around and show that sort of stuff. But I do miss our... We have really good steak and our lamb. And they're the two things that, like...
Steak and lamb?
Yeah.
Really?
When I go home, they're my two... Like a roast lamb by my mom.
Like a Sunday roast?
Yeah.
Well, so you said you're going to go back in a couple, yeah, weeks, right? So that'll be something you can hopefully,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I've already put my orders in.
Yeah.
But they're all unhealthy things, but Pavlova's is my other thing I love.
What's that?
It's like a big meringue with cream and fruit. It's because it has strawberries on top that I love it. Yeah, but it's a big meringue with cream. It's sort of like an alternative to a cake. We have it at Christmas. I make it at Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Like, I love traditions. Learning about other people's... You know, like,
yeah,
family's tradition, because I've never heard any of that. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of cakes and lollies, mm-hmm, if someone's trying to lose weight, do you recommend, like, what are your tips? Do you feel like people need to, like, there's a big thing on, I feel like on social media, a lot of people will post, like, oh, it's not about what you eat. It's just about, like, count your macros. Like, what are your thoughts on that kind of thing? Like, counting calories and macros? Like, if someone was trying to eat healthy for weight loss?
For weight loss, I think there's quite a few components. A, you need to listen to your body, like I said, because if things are slowing down your digestive system, then it's not going to help your body process and metabolize, which is what you want to do, so you can burn through the food and then actually burn the fat. One of the best things you can do is build muscle. That's not a nutrition fact. That's just a fact. Then there is, it's about what I feel, nutrient dense foods. So it's all about giving your body the energy it needs in the minimal calories that you can, not too minimal, but it's about giving your body the energy it needs. My true belief and from my experience, if you are giving your body the right nutrients, whether it be macro, micro, then you're not going to have the cravings. You're going to sleep better and it all falls into place.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you're eating zero carbs,
yeah,
then all of a sudden you're going to want carbs, right?
Yeah.
But if you're, like, eating things that you need, then...
And cutting carbs isn't a healthy way to do it because you're losing your water weight. That's why people always put it back on. Yeah. So
funny how that works.
I know. Yeah, because you'd start to retain your water again. And water is one of the most important vital parts of our body. If we're dehydrated, then nothing's going to work. And that's part of the craving, is because you're dehydrated. What you crave isn't always what your body needs.
Gotcha. What you crave isn't always what your body needs.
Yeah, so say you want like a lolly, or say you want something sweet in the afternoon, it doesn't mean that your body's desperate for sugar.
Yeah.
It means that your body's lacking some nutrient.
Yeah, maybe you're dehydrated. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if everyone thinks about that. If someone's like just maybe listening to this and they just are trying to just start eating a little bit healthier, you know, just like to make sure that, you know, they're introducing like good foods into their diet. What's like, where do you start? Like, do a lot of people come to you that are just like, oh gosh, help me. What do I do?
So that when I do nutrition, I always look at exactly what they're doing now. Because if you know what we're doing now and the honest truth, not some forged version that you think I like, then it's easier. And so it's all about making like single steps that work for you. So whether it be change one thing in your diet a day or one thing in your diet a week, but just try and swap out one unhealthy thing or look for healthier versions of what you enjoy.
Gotcha.
So like we said, if you rely on processed meals from the grocery store, pick the best option. If you eat out five nights a week, maybe try and eat at home a couple, make sure it's healthier, or just pick the healthier things at the restaurant. Sort of things like that. It's just about trying to make small changes, because that's what's going to last long term, and that's not what's not going to give you cravings and then make you want to binge and be even worse than you were.
Yeah.
And if you slowly give yourself more nutrient-dense foods, then it'll give you more energy. If you feel better, then you'll want to continue on as well, which is one of the best things.
You'll be ready to just win at life. I will say one thing that's really helped me is I have a water bottle at my desk, and just it sitting there, and we have water coolers like in every corner of the building. So just by having that, I drink way, way more water than I ever did before. Just like having that right by me.
Well, you know how people talk about negative calorie foods? That's a myth. The only negative calorie food is water. So you're actually burning fat and when you're drinking water. So it is a win, because the more water you drink, the more calories, and it's not like a crazy amount, but if you do it over a year, it makes a difference and it's not that big a change. Plus, you're giving your body hydration, and that will help with energy and winning.
I chug water
all day long. Yeah, so do
I. It's so good. Water is life. So if anyone's listening and they're like, man, Anna Baker, I need help. How can they like get in touch with you? And you have a lot of stuff going on, it sounds like. So talk
I always
a little
have
about,
a lot of stuff going on.
Plug yourself. Talk about
So my website is nutritionjourney.com. That's my company name too. That's also my Instagram.
Nutrition Journey. Nutrition Journey. Okay.
Yep, at Nutrition Journey.
I'm going to follow you right now.
Okay, cool. And then the Facebook page, unfortunately, someone stole the high one. So it's
That's happening with like a lot of people that I personally know. Yeah. Like you were hacked?
No, I mean that... Like,
stole
the name.
They stole the name. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have Nutrition Journey on Facebook.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's a Texas chain.
Oh, come on, Texas Nutrition Journey.
Yeah. So it's Nutrition Journey by Anna Baker.
Gotcha. Okay. On Facebook. And on your website, like what all can you get on your website? Don't you do like meal plans?
What we call is nutrition concierge. Like I said, I hate just doing a meal plan and sending people on their way, and half the time it's a fail. So it's all about stepping stones into making people have healthier life and education, being able to ask questions. If you're at a restaurant, what to eat, things like that. If you're at the grocery shop doing your grocery shopping, I get photos from clients about which one to pick.
Oh, so they'll like message you and be like, Anna, should I get this?
Yeah.
Should I not get this?
And that's the same with restaurants. They're like, which one? Send me a menu. Which one? I'm like, well, the best one would be this, but I know you, so you're going to pick this one. You'll like it.
Yeah.
So it's all about compromise. But I do that in person, but I also do it online, so totally virtual. So like I said, people just text me, we email, do Skype, FaceTime.
Yeah.
And then I've recently written a book that's a 6-week Kickstarter. So it's about just 6 weeks of healthy, fun recipes to cook at home. And it comes with like the health coaching, so the texting at restaurants and things like that. So that's really exciting. I just launched that. Actually in the middle of finishing off my vegan version of it. So making vegan healthy, because I know that's a big thing out here, but actually giving healthy, fun recipes to do at home.
Yeah. Gotcha. And that's an ebook, right?
Yes.
That's so, I just
printed it out. It was like this thick. So I don't
know. I'm kind of late to the train, but I didn't realize how, like, if you have an iPhone, I'm sure it's the same for Android, you can just, it'll just store the books in your books app.
Yeah.
Like, I have a couple that are on there, and I'm like, oh, this is so convenient.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, you can put it on your iPad and.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Wow.
So if you want a copy of the book, I'll send one over to you and you can store it on your phone.
Honestly, I mean, I feel like I try to eat relatively healthy. Obviously, I eat a lot of eggs, but
I have a lot of egg recipes for you.
I love talking about all this stuff. Like, yeah. I wish that I had a nutritionist that like lived with me, so I could just, you know what I mean? Just
sometimes I feel like I live with some of my clients. They text so much, and they're telling me about their life and grocery shopping. I know exactly what they're doing all the times.
Yeah, heck yeah. Well, I hope that when you go back to Australia, you have a great Sunday roast, and maybe you can indulge a little bit in the what is it?
The Australian wines.
Oh, hello. We didn't even talk about that. I'd be into that.
That would be my version of indulging.
Anything else that maybe we should touch on?
I'm good.
Yeah. And obviously, like, for anyone who still has questions, like, it sounds like someone could, like, follow you or message you on Facebook or Instagram or, you know.
Yeah. Anyone can message me anyway.
Cool. All right.
I like it.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Be sure to rate and review our show. You can also connect with us on social at Olympic and Bundy. Next up, we have a great guy named Sean Leverett. He's an LA native, grew up in Watts. He now has his own Muay Thai and fitness studio in Koreatown, and says that he learned Muay Thai as a way to get out some of his aggression as a kid. It was an interesting conversation and a pleasure to meet him. So I hope you can look forward to that. Thanks again for listening.